Now, one short paragraph before we go any further. Let's be sure to identify the abuses taking place in our own mythical parish. But none of these abuses is a figment of the imagination. Everything I've said, and much worse, is going on and occurring in real life throughout the United States. And actually, the abuses in many cases are worse and more offensive than those that I have briefly identified. Sisters, we must know this. And depending on what country you're in, and there are countries that are as bad and worse off than America. That is why when I was asked to come to Calcutta, and I was told I would speak on the Eucharist. For me, that was, if I can call it, an obligation, because I'm under direct orders of Pope Paul II to do everything in my power to restore reverence, respect in the Eucharistic liturgy. Now, the next subsection, the reasons for these abuses.
What does the Catholic do?
Please?
Who's Catholic? Who does Dr. Boomer thought about this? Why she mentioned, how does she fulfill her obligation?
Well, the obligation? Well, I would say, and this is what I tell people privately, I would say they would be justified in not assisting at what they may hope is a mass with such and similar abuses as I've described. And sisters, this is what happened in the 16th century. Do you hear me? Whole nations were lost to the Catholic Church. And this was one of the main reasons. Now, the reasons for the abuses. Only our Lord knows all the reasons for the widespread liturgical abuse going on in one so-called developed country after another. However, liturgists have by now written so extensively that we have a pretty good idea of why those abuses have crept in. We are told there is, and this is an article from a current issue of a Catholic magazine. The magazine is called Worship. And thousands of people subscribe to that magazine. Here's what the magazine says. The most stunning consequence of Vatican II was its challenge to find a new way of being church. And this new way of being church struck and still strikes fear in the hearts of Kyrio bureaucrats and bishops worried about the size of their mitres. The old way, we are told, was preconciliar, based on an ecclesiology which is a pyramid. It's the image of a church as a body. There are some members are inherently inferior to others, and all the members of the church are subordinate to the head, unquote. And of course, his head is the Pope. And this way must be replaced by the new way. This, I repeat, is a national circulating magazine, the most widely circulating magazine in the English-speaking world on the liturgy. So, what is this new way? The new way sees the church as charismatic. And such is why I'm on the subject. May I ask, do you missionaries of charity have charismatics? Now, you know what I'm asking. And I think I should say this. When that time Sister Nirmala had already well organized the contemplative branch of the Missionaries of Charity in New York, one sister entered the contemplatives, and she was charismatic. So Sister Nirmala asked me, "Father, what do you think? This charismatic sister, she would like to have, well, we should have some joint prayer, charismatic prayer. What do you think, Father?" I said, "Well, I'm going to Rome soon. We were meeting with Mother Teresa. Suppose I ask Mother. Within 6 weeks, I had business in Rome. I spoke to Mother and I told her, 'Mother, Sister Nirmala asked me to ask you, what about these charismatics? You know, they have, well, they speak with tongues. They have Pentecost experiences. Mother, what do you think?' You tell Sister Nirmala, I want no charismatics in the Missionaries of Charity." I thought I should say this before the word charismatic came up. In this new way of worship, the Eucharist is seen not as a thing, but as the assembly of the people. Now there are books published, which the Eucharist is identified as the people. We are the Eucharist. We are the Eucharist. The Eucharist is not something outside of us. In fact, this is what they are being told. Without the assembly, there is no Eucharist. There are people attending what we might still call the Eucharist, or there is no Eucharist. In other words, there's been a redefinition of the church, which underlies what those who are teaching this call a reformation of the liturgy.